Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his years and times of popularity, there were many people that came to hear the words of the Savior. The crowds came and listened to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say as he walked upon this scene of time. But you know, we find in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus had a tremendous interest in the individual. And so often we find in the Scriptures was the encounters that the Savior had with the individual people. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he changed the lives. He changed the life of that man that was at the pool of Bethesda. And he was lying there helpless. And then Jesus came along. He changed the life of Nicodemus, who came to the Savior one night and asked him a great question about eternity and how the Savior looked into his heart, and the Savior knew the very need of his very soul. He changed the life of the woman of Samaria as she stood there in the noonday sun, and the Lord Jesus Christ asked her to give him to drink. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ introduced the conversation, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ, he got the disciples away, because they would have been a hindrance. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, when they were away, he spoke to the woman of Samaria. And thank God, that day she took a draught of the living water. And from that moment, she never her soul was never dry again. She drank of the water of God. For Jesus said, I am the water of life. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke to these individual people and had his encounter with them. Now the truth is this, that not everybody that heard the Lord Jesus Christ listened to what he had to say and followed his instruction. Sad to say, there were those, and Jesus Christ said these words. He said, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And I believe the Savior's heart was broken as he realized there were those that heard him, heard his loving words, heard his beckoning words of invitation to come and be saved, and to know that sin-sick soul being healed by the blessed power of Christ himself. But sad to say, he says, ye will not come to me. He stood on the Mount of the Mount of Olives, and he looked over the city of Jerusalem. And the Savior, the big bead of tears ran down his cheeks, and the Savior cried, how oft would I have gathered thee, as a hen would gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not. Thank God there were those who did come. Thank God there were those that did get, their lives were changed. And thank God they were never, ever the same again. But I want us to look at a passage of God's Word tonight of a young man who wanted to be saved. He wanted to have eternal life. And yet the reality was this, that this young man, having heard the claims of Christ upon his life, he turned and he walked away. My friend, there have been those like Agrippa of old who cried, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And yet they have left the gospel meetings and have gone out again in their sin, and they turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have been lost and are lost for all eternity. Now, why would a man or woman do that? Here was a man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a burden on his heart. The Lord Jesus gave him the answer that he needed to hear. But he turned his back on Christ. And the Word of God says in verse 22, it says, and he went away grieved. And so tonight I ask you this question. As the Word of God is preached in this tent, I trust and pray that you will not play the fool with your soul, but tonight that you will come. And the question is this, will you turn away, or will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord? Now, I want us to look at this man, because I see contrasts in this. It seems to be there's a dual personality here in this man in the Scriptures that we find. Look at verse number 17. And when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What a question. My friend, his question was an eternal question. And friend, that is the reality of this meeting tonight. Let me tell you, this meeting's not just to pass an hour in the tent and then for you to go home. The meetings of this mission are for eternity. And you're standing at the crossroads of your life. And I say this tonight, two ways before you lie. And each man a choice must make. There's one upward to the sky and the other's downward to the lake. Each soul must answer yes or no. My friend, tonight you'll make a decision concerning the eternal destiny of your precious soul. He said, "Good Master, what shall I do? Tell me, what am I going to do? What do I need to do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now I want you to look at this lad, because let me tell you, it says, he came and he ran and he kneeled to Jesus and he asked him this question. In other words, he was just near to Christ. He was so near. He was so near to the blessed Son of God. He was at the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the tragedy is this. He turned and he walked away unconverted and unsaved. So near to the kingdom of heaven and yet outside the gate. My friend, do you ever think about those in the scriptures that were very near to the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was one of those 12 disciples. He sat in the very presence of Christ. He listened to the very words of Christ. He saw the miracles of Christ. He heard the invitations of Christ. And yet Judas Iscariot, he was so near to Christ, friend. And yet the reality was this. The Bible says that Judas Iscariot, he went out and he hanged himself and he went to his own place. He died in his sin and he went to hell. Yes, you could sit in a church meeting. Yes, my friend, it is very possible for you to even be a member of the church. It's very possible for you to be in the leadership of the church and yet never know God's salvation and to die in your sin and be lost in a Christless eternity. I remember going to a service one Sunday afternoon preaching the Word of God on a gospel mission. The end of the meeting. When the invitation was given for those who desired to be saved, to indicate their desire. And friend, as every head was bowed, a man raised his hand and indicated that he wanted to come to Christ. That man was the superintendent of the Sunday school of a Bible-believing church. Everyone believed that he was saved. Yes, my friend, his family believed he was saved. His wife believed he was saved. His father believed he was saved. His mother believed he was saved. His church believed he was saved. His minister believed he was saved. And yet that Sunday afternoon, God put aside, my friend, the mask. And God revealed his heart. And God showed him that all he had for those years was just a profession. And yet he had no genuine possession of Jesus Christ. Yes, he was the superintendent of a Sunday school. And yet that Sunday afternoon, thank God, the Spirit of God give him glory to God, honesty before God. Let me tell you, my friend, do not hide behind the mask of a profession. My, you say, well, listen, everybody believes that I'm saved. Let me tell you, forget about everybody. It's what does God know about you? Is your heart right with God? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? I remember holding a mission in Macrofelt in the tent, let me tell you, many years ago. And there was one night I got this call from a young girl, a young woman from Ballymena. And she said, "Mr. McCrae, could I see you before the meeting?" She said, "You know, I belong to the Brethren Assembly." She said, "My father is one of the leading lights in the assembly. And one night, to please my father, I made a profession. I was baptized, and they believed that all is well." She said, "I've been coming to the meetings in the tent." She said, "I've listened to you preach God's word, and God has shown me that all I have is a profession. I haven't God's salvation at all." She said, "Mr. McCrae, I want to come tonight. Will you lead me to Christ?" Let me tell you, friend, listen, that superintendent had to get past his minister. He had got to get away from the rest of what the congregation thought. He even had to get past what the Sunday school teachers thought. He needed to get right with God. And friend, tonight I say that God will give you honesty before Him. And if all you're relying upon is a profession of years ago, and there's no genuine walking with God, I'll tell you this, it's time you got to Christ. It's time you got right with God, friend. Is thy heart right with God? And Judas Iscariot sat there amongst the rest of the disciples. And let me tell you, whenever Judas Iscariot was going out, and Jesus said, "What thou doest, do quickly." And Judas Iscariot went out. Not one of them believed that he was going to betray Christ. Not one of them believed that he was going to sell the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord knew it. But not one of the rest of them. In actual fact, whenever Jesus says, "One of you will betray me," do you know what everybody else said? "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" Yes, my friend, they were searching their own hearts. But they never said, "Lord, is it Judas? Is it Judas?" Not one of them saw it, friend. Listen, Judas Iscariot was so near to Christ. He sat in the very presence of the Savior. He listened to the Savior. Has the Savior done his miracles and preached his messages of repentance? And yet Judas Iscariot went to hell. That night, whenever Judas Iscariot sold the Lord Jesus Christ for the 30 pieces of silver, and he led those soldiers into the presence of Christ, and the Bible says he went up to Christ and he kissed the Savior, and means he rained kisses upon the Savior's cheek so that they would hold him fast. And friend, let me tell you this, Judas Iscariot that night kissed the very door of heaven. Because Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And Judas Iscariot kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. What an awful tragedy. So near. So near, and yet so tragically far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what about Pilate? Pilate stood in the very presence of Jesus Christ. He sat there in that seat of judgment. He looked into the very face of the blessed Son of God. And as Pilate examined the Savior, he said this, "I find no fault in him." The Lord Jesus was a sinless, crimeless, harmless, lovely Son of God. And Pilate had to admit there's no fault in him. And yet he looked at the people and he said, "Tell me, what am I going to do with Jesus?" And they said, "Crucify him." And although Pilate knew he was an innocent man, the Bible says this, and after he, Pilate, had scourged Jesus, he, Pilate, delivered him to be crucified. So near to Christ, and yet so far. My friend, what about Felix? And as Paul preached the word of God, and the Spirit of God took a grip of Felix's soul, and nursed my under the power of the Spirit of God, Felix began to tremble. And that's where the Word of God records in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Felix trembled. But listen, Felix only trembled. That's as far as he got. And there's many a man has sat and many a woman has sat in a gospel meeting, friend, and under the power of the Spirit of God, they've trembled in their sin. And yet they got out of their seat and they walked to the door and they went out into the darkness of night, and they're out in God's eternity tonight. Listen, they only trembled. They only trembled, but they didn't take the final step. They didn't run to Christ. They didn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And Felix trembled. What about Agrippa? And once again, the Apostle Paul was preaching unto him. And he looked into the face of the king and he said, "Thou knowest. Oh, Agrippa, you know the truth." And what did Agrippa say? He said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me be a Christian." And I can see the tears in Paul's eyes, and he said, "I would to God that not only thou, but all those that hear me, were not only almost, but altogether such as I accept the bonds. I don't want you to have the bonds, but I want you to have Jesus. I want you to have Jesus." And friends, Agrippa went out into a lost eternity. And the words that's upon his lips, "Almost, almost, almost persuaded, but I'm lost." And down in hell, Agrippa is lost forevermore. And yet there was a moment he was almost there, so near, so near. But what about this young fella? This young fella's concerned about a soul, friend. And the Lord Jesus Christ is walking down the dusty pathway. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die upon the cross. And here's a young man, and he starts to run. And he falls at the very feet of this so-called peasant preacher. And he falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he looks into the face of Christ, and he said, "Good Master, tell me, what do I do? Tell me, what do I do that I may inherit the eternal life?" Yes, the Bible says, verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He was loved of Christ. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're saying, "Preacher, but nobody cares about me. Nobody understands or cares what I'm going through." Let me tell you, my friend, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Dear sinner, God loved you. And God loved you so much that he gave his darling Son, and he sent him from heaven's glory. And he sent him to a world of sin and woe. And one day he went to a cross. And he died alone in the darkness for a sinner like you. And yet you turn to God and say, "Yes, God, nobody cares. Nobody cares about me." So now the devil wants you to believe that. Here was a young man, he was stirred in his soul. He was anxious in his soul. He was concerned. What was he concerned about, friend? Verse 17, eternal life. Life for all eternity. Then I want you to look at this young man once again. The Bible tells us in verse number 22, it says, "And he was sad at that saying, and he went a great grief." Why? Because he had great possessions. He was the rich young ruler. You read the records and you'll find that that's true. This was a young fellow and he had youth on his side. That's a wonderful thing. Our brother was glorifying the fact that he wasn't born the 50 years ago. Well, let me tell you, he looks it. But that's only by the way. That's just because of the beard, brother. But youth's a wonderful thing. For some of us, those days are past. They're never going to come back again. But then we have lived our days and have so much to thank God for that he has given us those days. A lot of people would love to have the years we have already. And they'll never see it. The Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." This was a young man. These young people in this meeting tonight, and I say this to you in God's name, don't waste your life. You have only one life. Listen. And it soon will pass. And it's only what's done for Christ that's really going to last. And the tragedy is there's so many young people today in the faith that they can burn the candle for the devil. And then at the end of the journey, they'll blow the smoke of a wasted life in the face of God Almighty. In God's name, don't waste your life, friend. It's a precious life. You've only one journey here. You're not going to get a second run, you know. There's only one time. And you're facing God's eternity. This young man had youth. It's something else. He had wealth. Because the Bible said he had great possessions. What a privilege. And yet, friend, let me tell you something about this boy. This boy ran into the presence of Jesus Christ and his heart was breaking about something. And it was about, he said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, I believe that gives us a little notice. How did he get his possessions? I believe he inherited them. I believe he was a young fellow who was born into a rich home. And his father had given him the possessions. At the end of his day, and he had inherited these possessions. But he realized that the possessions he had, friend, were only passing possessions. They weren't permanent. And he said, "I've everything for life, but I've nothing for eternity." Friend, that's a sad situation. Here was a young man, and the Bible said he had great possessions. He had everything that money could buy. He could get popularity, and my, he could get fame, he could get companions. Why? Because if he couldn't get them any other way, he could buy them. Let me tell you this. You can buy a house, but you can't buy a home. Don't you forget that. There's things that money can buy. Listen, you can buy friends, but you can't buy true love. And let me tell you, people think today, if only I had money, I could be satisfied. Let me tell you, some of the richest people in this world, friend, have died a tragic end because their money never satisfied. Didn't I read the verse and say the verse last night? What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You know the Queen of England, Elizabeth I. And when Elizabeth I was coming near the end of the journey, this is what she said. All my possessions for a moment of time. They said that she had a wardrobe like no other woman in the world. That many dresses in the wardrobe. Listen, everything that money could buy, it was hers. Listen, and she came to the end. She says, all my possessions for a moment of time, she'd have gladly given them all for more time. Why? Because, friends, let me tell you, time passes. In some of these moments, you're going to take a step out of time, friend. And for you, time will be no more. And you'll step into God's eternity. Now, you might have plenty for time, but I asked you this question. Tell me, what have you for eternity? You're going to take a journey someday. And you're going down into the valley of death. And you're going to take a journey into the unending eternity that is beyond. And all your passing possessions, friend, listen, you leave them all behind. Somebody else will get them. There's a man going down the road in the coffin. He was well-to-do and everybody wanted to know what he'd left and who had got it. And there was this wee boy walking behind the hearse and they were all saying, you know, I wonder, did anybody hear what he left? And this wee boy, a wee insignificant creature, he says, aye, I do. Boys that were gathered around like clegs in the back of a cow. And they wanted to hear. And said, well, what was it? What? He says, he left all. He left all. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to leave all some of these days. For nearly 50 years now, I've stood at the open graves with congregation in Macrofelt. And in this countryside, and let me tell you this, friend, I've stood at many a coffin and looked in. And I've seen many a woman and man lying there in the shroud, but I tell you this, the pocket's empty. If you leave all. There may be plenty in the bank, but you never write another check. Remember the day I stood at the side of my father's grave. And I looked from the side of my father's grave and I looked down from that hillside and I looked down to where I was reared. And I looked down in the fields and my father worked hard from morning to night and he worked hard to leave it to his family. He worked hard and built his farm and bought the land to leave it to his sons. And I looked down in front of my friend and listened. And you know all he had at the end? Just a wee plot. That's all it was. He didn't plant. No, friend, listen. He was planted in Mother Earth that day. The earthly remains. And I tell you, the biggest one of you, you go the same road. And you leave it all. Now here's a young man, he's got everything. He was rich.
And yet, friend, he was a pauper. He was poor.
Maybe some of you are boasting tonight of what you have. I want to tell you, my friend, you only left it for a while. You have nothing. You only lent it for a wee while. Then you're taken from it. And you leave it all behind. Acres of diamonds. Mountains of gold. Rivers of silver. Jewels untold. All these together cannot buy you or me. Listen, my friend. Here was a young man, and he had everything that money could buy, but he was conscious he was lacking something. He had nothing for eternity. And he said, "Good master, tell me, what do I have to do that I may inherit eternal life?" Do you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? Very interesting wee book. Looking through the eyes of man. In the book of Ecclesiastes, listen, Solomon talking about what he had. And he's boasting about what he planted and what he built and all that he had in this world. Do you know what he said? Do you know what he said? He said, "I hated life." Isn't that amazing? I hated life. But surely, you had everything that money could buy. But he hadn't peace within. Hadn't peace of heart. Hadn't peace of mind. And here was a young man that he had riches untold, friend, and yet he realized he had nothing, nothing for eternity. Let's quickly look at them again. Because look at this young man. Jesus said, verse 18, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, and do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." Notice what he said in verse 20. And he answered and said unto Jesus, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Now I want you to notice, friend, Jesus did not contradict that young man. He didn't contradict him. Because I believe there were many things in the character of this young man, friend, that were so good. He was a young man that many a mother would say, "Listen, he's an ideal one for my son, or for my daughter. Boys, if my daughter married that fella, she'd have a real good one." There are many of the characteristics. "All these have I kept from my youth up." But do you notice something, friend? You see, all of those commandments, they were all to do with his relationship with man, not with God. You see, the Ten Commandments are divided. There are six commandments that have got to do with relationship, with our relationship with man. And there's four. The first ones are in our relationship with God. This young man was right with his neighbor, his fellow man, but he wasn't right with God. And maybe you're looked upon in this community. There's a fine young man. There's a fine young woman. There's a good man in this district. Man, listen, there's a real example of a good person in this community. And the people lift you up, friend, and they say you're one of the best. But what about God? What about your relationship with God? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you this tonight, natural goodness is not enough. It will not get you through the pearly gates of heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here was a young man, and he had much things that he could glory in. And yet, he wasn't right with God. Verse 21 says, Jesus beholding him loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. What was Jesus Christ talking about there? You see, the Lord looking into that young man's heart knew there was a God in his life. There was a God on the throne of his heart, friend, and it wasn't God who made him. It wasn't the God of heaven. The God was his possessions. Now you say to me, preacher, I wouldn't be like that. I'm asking you this question because I'm going to test you. Are you saved? Honestly before God, have you taken Christ Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? You say, well, no, I haven't. But, listen, but nothing, friend. If you're not saved, what's keeping you from Christ? Because whatever's keeping you from the Lord Jesus Christ, there's your God. There's your God. And the Bible says, thou shalt have no other God before me. And for some of you, maybe it is money. For some of you, maybe it is a relationship. For some of you, my friend, it's your friends. And my, you say, well, listen, but what would my friends say if I give my heart and life to Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this, friend. When you die and close your eyes in death and you leave your friends behind and you step out into God's eternity, what will your friends say then? Because it's just you and God. My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. Will you come? And the sad reality is this. The fear of man sits upon many a man's heart. And he knows he needs to be saved. And he knows he wants to be saved. But he's afraid of what others will say. And the fear of man, the Bible says, brings a snare. And he damns his soul for the fear of man. If you're going to be saved tonight, you've got to get your eyes on man and get your eyes upon the God man, Christ Jesus. For Jesus Christ alone can save you from your sin. And he was a young fella. And as far as the world was concerned, he was so good. All these things have I kept from my youth up. And yet, friend, he didn't know the Lord. As far as relationship with man was concerned, he was faithful. As far as relationship with God, he was a failure. Now be honest tonight. Stop playing the fool. Come on, friend, you haven't come to this meeting for to surely fool your soul. You're facing eternal realities. This young fellow was facing eternal realities. He said, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? He realized he'd got an eternal soul. This journey's not the end, friend. Oh, I've heard it so many times. And I've heard men and women stand at an open grave, and I've stood there and I've preached the gospel, and then people have walked away, and I've heard them say, oh, well, that's the end of Joe. Or that's the end of Jeannie. Let me tell you what I feel. It's only begun. It's only begun. This world's not your home. At the longest, we're only here for a wee season, and then we have to go and leave it all. But we're going out to meet God Almighty. And then we're going out to God's eternity. You say, where will I be in eternity, friend? You'll be where you're ready for. And if you're saved, you're ready for heaven. And if you're not saved, you're ready for hell. And I say this solemnly tonight. And those that die
and are saved and they get to heaven, they'll never want back. And the man who dies in his sin and goes to hell will never get back. For there's no return. Eternity. Eternity, where will I be? Eternity. Listen, he was concerned. You notice, lastly, how wise he was. He came to the right person. He came to Jesus. He had a question about eternity. He was a rich young ruler, the Bible says. Yes, he was trained in his religion. And yet he comes running to the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone can help him, surely Jesus can. The wisest thing a man could do was to come to Jesus with a question of eternity in his heart. He came running. He came the right way. Sensed his need. There was an urgency about this matter. And let me tell you, friend, there's an urgency. For there's not one of us know what a day brings forth. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. A few years ago, there was a neighbor woman beside us at home had died of cancer, a young woman in her 40s. My brother knew the family very well, and so he decided he would go to the funeral and show his respect for the family circle. And so, also the following few days after that, my daughter was getting married. He said to his wife, he said, Valerie, I need to go and get an overcoat because it's quite cool. It was in the month of March. It's quite cool. I need to go and get an overcoat for the funeral. Then I'll get some things for the wedding to match the suit for the wedding. Get shirts and ties and things for the wedding. He went into the town and got the things and came out, and she had his meal ready so as he would go to the funeral. After he took his lunch, he says, I'll go up and shave and get ready for the funeral. And he went upstairs and went to the bathroom to shave. And all of a sudden, his daughter and wife heard a thud. They were downstairs, this bang on the ground. And his daughter ran as fast as she could up the stairs into the bathroom. And her father was lying across the floor. Dead. He was going to a funeral, friend, of a neighbor woman. No. He went to his own. And I buried my brother on Tuesday, and I married my daughter on Friday. How quickly can all end? You see, we're headed out to God's eternity. Listen. And all that my brother had, he left behind. Another drives a tractor. Another brings in the cattle and feeds the calves. And he's out in God's eternity. He was a young man and he was concerned. He came to the very feet of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was concerned about his soul. Can I ask you, are you concerned about your soul? Are you concerned about eternity? I believe you are, friend, because God's got you here. And he came at the right time, and I'll tell you this why. Because this was the last time that he'd ever meet Jesus. Jesus was passing by. Jesus would never pass that way again for this young fella. It was his last.
opportunity.
I don't know what this night will hold, but this I know. The only thing that counts is you're ready to go. He was wise, and yet he was a fool. It says he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to give up the God of his life, and he turned his back on the Savior. Let me ask you as a close, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? You've got to make a choice for him. The Savior stands outside the door of every sinner's heart. He longs to be admitted to eternal life and part its invitation time. The Savior is drawing near. Tell me, what will you do with him? You will accept him, or you will reject him. But you will do something tonight. What's your answer?